from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. The big signal is out. The 1080 AM signal is out, so tell your friends. We're still partying on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We got it all going.
Except for the terrestrial.
Except for 1080 AM.
Well, I think 1080thefan.com as well, right?
That, yeah.
The old website.
Use your web browser.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're streaming on Cam Soda and OnlyFans. Browsers. He's got a feed up.
Well, yep. Wait.
Now free.
No, none of those. Wait, none of those are.
Are we on the fake taxi?
None of those. What's that?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is it
seems
you don't need to pay for them anymore.
Seems suspicious over there. All right. Hey, we start hour number two with a little NFL news and notes. The New England Patriots could not come to an agreement with All-pro pass rusher Matthew Judon, so
they got worse.
He gone. They traded him to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. And now, the Atlanta Falcons, their biggest question marks heading into this season were, it was not a matter of weapons. It was not a matter of quarterback anymore. It wasn't the offense, because addition by subtraction, Arthur Smith being the play caller and the head coach was not a good marriage in Atlanta.
New, problematic.
You upgrade your quarterback room with Kirk Cousins. You have Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Darnell Moody, Ray McLeod, Kyle Pitts. Your offensive line has still got a plethora of first-round picks on it. It was, will their defense under Raheem Morris continue to grow, develop, and become more stable? What do you need to do that? You need an elite pass rusher, and by golly, they got an elite pass rusher in Matthew Judon. And then they went with the Billy Mays, but wait, there's more. They Ron Popeil'd this thing.
Rest in peace.
You're not going to set it and forget it. No, they went out and they got Justin Simmons, too. They're bolstering their defense.
Was that some spray on hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. pretty decent additions going and getting two Pro Bowlers.
And this, I think that now you have this conversation of, from a roster standpoint, the Atlanta Falcons have the best roster in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Now you need to say, how competitive are they going to be in the NFC as a contender in the NFC? They still are having to make up ground on the likes of San Francisco, Detroit. That's a bizarre thing to say. The Green Bay Packers.
The Falcons and the Lions are good.
Yeah. It's weirder to say Lions and Falcons because at least the Falcons have been good in recent memory. But with that division, too, you have the ability to go through some growing pains even. And because Carolina Panthers are going to be god-awful.
They're the worst team in football.
New Orleans Saints are, they're not god-awful, but if you were to say, what do you think? Describe to me the most mediocre team in the NFL this year. I would say the beacon of mediocrity would be what the New Orleans Saints are, which is they've got a quarterback that can win you games in Derek Carr. You have pieces that seem like they are really good in Alvin Kamara, who's getting older, mm-hmm. Chris Olave, who can be a game-breaking wide receiver. You've got Cameron Jordan, who's a little bit longer in the tooth now. You have these pieces on defense like Tyrann Mathieu and Marshawn Lattimore where you're going, man, those guys used to be really
damn good.
Name
recognition is strong.
But you're going, that ain't it now. These are not the horses that pull you through a season. They are like mediocre through and through. Dennis Allen is your head coach, for God's sakes. Cool. You know about that. You know about that, buddy. With the Raiders.
It's, yeah.
I do like Talese Fuaga, though.
No, and he's, the news out of camp for them is that they nailed that pick.
They knocked it out of the park with the Oregon State offensive lineman.
But I have wanted to buy into the Falcons. We've talked about it in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just can't because of the quarterback. I can't. Like, I'm a big Kyle Pitts guy. I'm a big Drake London guy. I'm a big Bijan guy. Like, offensively, if Kirk is just normal Kirk,
yeah,
they're going to be good offensively. And now defensively, they already had some weapons, and now you're adding two premier, not even like, hey, there's some name recognition. No, you have one of the better safeties in football and one of the best power rushers in football. Those aren't small ads.
No.
You know, like, those are big-time ads. You've got decent corners in Bates and Terrell. Like, I don't see how they don't win this division now.
Yeah, I think they do it easily. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are also one of those teams that last year, division winner, mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, took enormous strides in consistency. We knew that Baker had those flashes in him, but how does he react now that his offensive coordinator from a year ago and Dave Canales is in Carolina as the head coach? You know, they have a little bit of turnover. It does look like things run through Atlanta, and I don't look. Tampa and New Orleans are going to be teams that they can beat you, right? But this is not a gauntlet of a division. It's not the NFC North or South, for God's sakes, or NFC North. Got it right the first time. Where you have the Lions, Bears, Packers, and Vikings. Yeah. So the Bears seemingly have it together. The world needs ditch diggers too, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody will be the ditch digger in that division.
And they might be over 500.
But if you look at which team is the easiest path, or which division? It's still the NFC South.
Oh, it's not
and
close.
The second one is the NFC East, mm-hmm. where they have the Philadelphia Eagles that apparently Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni hate each other.
Yeah. I mean,
that's not big.
That division is nitroglycerin. Like, if you shake it too hard, it's going to explode. Boom, boom. You don't know what's going to come out of it.
The Cowboys, Giants, Commanders, and Eagles all have got fatal flaws left and right.
I know this sounds insane. I'm prefacing this with knowing fully well this sounds insane.
Okay.
If I said that Sirianni Hurts just go at each other and it becomes a massive problem that divides the team, Eagles fall on their face. Dak's foot is continually a problem throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Danny Dimes continues to suck tremendously. And all of a sudden the Commanders eke out a 9-8 season. Would that shock you winning? Like, if like, would that be the most? Like, would that be the craziest thing ever? I don't think it is.
No, it's not the craziest thing. I think like 10-7 wins that division.
You know what I mean? Like, if all of a sudden, like, a game or two over 500 wins that division, and it all, let's say Jaden Daniels has the CJ Stroud year.
When we did our whole worst to first, and I had the Giants, like, third, as, like, the third best team to go from worst to first, it's not like I have this confidence that Daniel Jones is going to get it together. It's not that I have this confidence that, like, Malik Nabers is the guy that can just bolster a receiving core and drag him to the mountaintop. Yeah. No, it's that it is a division that is in such flux right now, you just don't know. Like, the Commanders and the Giants could be sitting there at the end of the day going, oh, how do we get here?
Yeah.
It's
full Paul Rudd.
Truly bizarre. And look, the biggest thing with the Eagles for me is that if there are these tensions with Hurts and Sirianni, it is the losses of Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce as galvanizing pieces of a locker room. Your two most stable, sturdy leaders for such a long time, over a decade, are now gone. And I think that is going to play a very big factor if they do have issues with Sirianni, Hurts in a power struggle in that locker room. I still do believe, like, the Eagles are the class of that division. I do believe that the Dallas Cowboys, if they can get their pieces in working order and in the right mind frame, those are the two top teams in that division.
I feel like it's a big if for the Cowboys.
But to what you were saying, though, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we could see both of them go completely sideways this season and have a complete turnover in how that division results this year as opposed to last year. But the Atlanta Falcons got better.
Yes.
They undoubtedly got better.
And they did it by trading. You just traded a third-round pick for Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons.
And everybody was saying, when they drafted Michael Penix Jr., we need a pass rusher. We had the opportunity to get the best pass rusher in the draft this year. Well, turns out they got really good value for one of the best pass rushers, not in the draft, but in the NFL. And
if you're
Judon.
Asking me, do I want Dallas Turner or Matthew Judon? It's not even close.
You're going to have to pay him. Judon. You're going to have to pay him and hope you don't get into the Hassan Reddick situation. But
yeah, like, look, do I think Turner can be good? Sure. I don't. I never saw him and was like, yes, he's Javon Kearse 2.0. You know what I mean? He might end up being a really solid pass rusher. I would rather go down the Judon path.
Yeah.
Especially if you're the Falcons.
All right. Big news, though. That's a monster trade. And then I think what you're saying about Justin Simmons, too. You said right before we got back from the break, you said he is signed with the Falcons now. That's a big, big win.
Yeah.
For the Atlanta,
and they just signed him using cap space. It's a 1-year, $8 million deal. So they traded a third round pick and got Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons.
Alrighty,
that's about as good a business as you can get done.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
All right, let's go to staying in the NFC. There is a holdout in the NFL that is not getting much attention, but one of the best players in the entire league said, "We should probably look at this as a bigger deal." Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com.
Hmm.
There is a big holdout that is not getting as much attention as another guy on his own team is getting. We've heard a lot about Hassan Reddick. We heard about Matthew Judon prior to his trade from New England to Atlanta. We have heard about the holdout of Brandon Ayuk with the San Francisco 49ers. But there is actually another holdout on the 49ers that is going to have far greater implications to the success of the 49ers this season. And that is the best offensive tackle in the National Football League, Trent Williams. And yesterday, George Kittle, the all-pro tight end for the 49ers, was meeting with the assembled media. And I'm going to just assume that the woman who asked the question's name was Jennifer, because this was George Kittle on the impact of Trent Williams.
Yes, Jennifer?
You brought up Trent Williams.
Yes, I did.
Same thing.
I'm trying, Jennifer.
With VA not being out there, is it like you don't miss him because it hasn't been week one yet?
Trent Williams is Trent Williams. You know, he's like the greatest football player to ever play the game. It's like him and Aaron Donald. I mean, that I've played against. And, you know, for all the people who are going to, you know, list off like, you know, 90s and 80s players, I'm sorry. But like the best I've ever played with. And so, yes, he's also like a massive human being. He's a silverback. Like he just has a presence to him. And so, yeah, not having him in the locker room at all and stuff like that, it's weird. But, you know, no one like... We all love Trent, and he's doing what he thinks is best for him, so it's okay. And I think Jalen Moore's done a good job of playing left tackle for us. And also, like, I appreciate getting extra reps, because one thing about Trent Williams is I don't need to practice with Trent that often, because he's so good that it's more of me like, hey, George, get out of the way so I can block this guy by myself. And I'm like, hey, man, you make my job easier. So getting the extra reps with Jalen, I think, is really beneficial, because he's gotten a lot of snaps for us in the last couple of years. And so if I can get really good at working with him, Trent will just fit in seamlessly. Not worried about it.
Think about that. George Kittle talking about his teammate, the best player in the history of the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, Trent Williams has been called that by people outside of his locker room.
He may be one of the best left tackles to ever play the game. And we talk about so often the weapons of the San Francisco 49ers, and we overlook the fact that they do. And I try to make it a point every time we talk about San Francisco's offense, saying, in Trent Williams,
yes,
right? Like, the success of Brock Purdy and what he has been able to do as Mr. Irrelevant in his first few years in the NFL.
Because there's literally nobody hitting him from his blind side.
He has no worry. No worry. And you have Kittle, who's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league.
Chipping there, too.
And what you have is the best left tackle saying, dude, get out of my way. Just let me do my thing. You actually make my job harder. When every other tackle in the NFL is like, if I have one of the best blocking tight ends, that is so useful in such a need that you can just, how many times do we see Kittle lined up on the right side?
Yeah.
You motion him over to the right side so he can get his help and give his help there, because you
don't
literally have not had to worry about the left side of your offensive line with Trent Williams. That is a bigger missing component for the 49ers' long-term success than Brandon Ayuk will ever be.
Oh, 100%. The other part of this is, I think the reason why you're not hearing anybody talk about it and why it's quiet, because Trent Williams will kill you. That's why.
And this is a situation where it's not a new, completely new contract that you're starting from scratch. He wants more guaranteed money, and he wants his guarantees. Also, like Kittle said, the sense of urgency to get that deal done is not as profound as Brandon Ayuk, because you can, with a veteran like Trent Williams, they're not running him ragged in training camp and in the preseason. No. You can just sit there and say, we'll get your ramp up in and we'll get you on the field for week one. That's when we will need you. Hell, it could even, you could even be, we'll miss week one, but we want you for the stretch of the season, because our long-term success at the end of the year, it hinges on Trent Williams being that anchor. And you can't really move around all of his money until you resolve the Ayuk situation.
Did you, this is a bit of a detour, and I'll bring it back, I swear.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the Cowboys and Rams practice where the Cowboys defensive tackle on a pass rush got clear, and just like a Rams assistant coach was like something nearby and he threw him to the ground?
Yeah, I saw that, and that dude got
ran him out of practice.
Yeah, he got run from practice, and they said, get your butt out of here, bro.
I think of that because it made me think of Trent Williams. Literally, when I saw the clip, I was like, you know who wouldn't do that? Or you know who would stop you from doing that? Trent Williams.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed in the Rams offensive line, to be honest, for not pummeling the dude immediately.
Yeah, that was the most Cowboys thing.
Yeah, I would have, like a
Raider, it would have fit a Raider more than a Cowboy. But if I'm power ranking, I'm going Raiders then Cowboys on which team would say, yeah, they're going to do that.
But also Raiders, like, that's part of their DNA.
that's who they are.
That's like, I accept that they're going to be dirtbags, right? Now, there's a sliding scale of dirtbag, like Ruggs. We don't go that far.
No.
Romanowski, you're literally the line. You are literally the line of the line.
Oh. I think he even crossed that line.
I mean, he's a habitual line stepper.
He crossed that line.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, that's, you're talking about a team that, you know, you had a cornerback who used to put rebar in his arm pads.
Yep.
So, the line's pretty far. But I watching that clip, the second I watched it, I went, number one, disappointed in the Rams offensive line. Number two, if this is the 49ers, this play does not happen.
Mm-mm.
Because if Trent Williams is on the field, you just don't dare do that.
No.
You know what I mean?
He's like, a scary person.
Have you seen the clip of him walking with Kittle?
No.
It's terrifying. Because George Kittle's like 6'4", 255 pounds. Big dude. And then he looks like a child next to him.
How big is Trent Williams there?
I think he's 6'7", 6'8", but he's like 360.
Huh.
He's whatever they have him listed at in his weight, it's nowhere near what it actually is.
They only have him listed at 6'5".
No.
You're not going to believe that.
No.
You're not believing it.
Not one bit.
You're calling shenanigans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
6'5", 320.
No. Absolutely. There is a picture of George Kittle, who is 6'4", walking alongside Trent Williams, and Trent is 3 or 4 inches taller.
Yeah.
It's not close.
At the combine, he measured 76.63 inches.
Barefoot?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is that?
6'5".
So, yeah, so 6'5", barefoot.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What George Kittle?
He's 6'4".
Well, I know, but I want to go George Kittle combine measurements. Mm. Let's see here. George Kittle, 6'4" barefoot. So he was only 1 inch. He's only 1 inch.
And you can talk about shorter. One being closer to the camera than the other.
Yeah.
They're like walking side by side. The difference in size is dramatic.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe Kittle just, walks small.
Slouched.
He doesn't walk tall like the great Trent Williams does. I thought that was a fascinating clip from Kittle, though, because we are not talking nearly enough about the impact that Trent Williams will have on the 49ers, and he is a holdout that is still happening. But again, I want to preface this by saying Trent Williams is a move. I want my guaranteed money. I want more guaranteed money. I don't want a brand new deal like Brandon Ayuk is asking.
He's asking for the money that's on the back of his deal be guaranteed because he's 37.
Yeah. But what they all need to have happen because of that is Brandon Ayuk's contract and whatever they bring in if they decide to trade him. You need to have a resolution to that before you can do the Trent Williams deal. It's not nearly as contentious as the Brandon Ayuk situation is by the reports that are out there, but he wants his money. And I think that Kittle also gave us a little nugget in that audio clip too of saying, you know, that, like, he's trying to get his money, and players don't care. Players don't care about a holdout like that. They don't care.
No.
They're like, hey, I understand it. I'm not going to talk about you or your money, and you don't talk about me or my money. Mm-hmm. I get what you're trying to do. I know that the business side of this, mm-hmm. because, look,
they and it's cut, also Trent Williams. They know that
they'll cut your ass as quick as they can, mm-hmm. so get your money while you can. You never talk about another man's money in the NFL.
No pocket watching. But also, mm-hmm. it's different when it's Trent Williams because, as Kittle said, it's the best player he's ever seen. So when the best player on the planet saying, I want my money,
it's pretty good.
You know what George Kittle's going to say? Hey, guys, pay the man.
Pay the man. Pay the man his money.
Yeah. And so, I want my $2, except it's $20 million. I want my $20 million.
Pay that man his money.
Yes.
That's indeed. Right.
All right, coming up next, the worst day on the web. You want to hear the most millionaire S you've ever heard in your entire life?
Ooh, yes.
Boy, do I've got that for you. But first, it's the Big Kuno Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
I came across this the other day before the porn sub rudely interrupted our the planned worst day on the web. And
for those that weren't listening, that was a submarine captain who got fired for making
porn on a submarine.
Porn on a submarine and then distributing it to people who didn't want to see that film.
Not to mention putting his little sub in other members'
No, that was
pockets.
Another guy. That was another guy.
Oh, that was a different one?
That was a different one. And wow. Even after that happened, he still was okay. Like, you know what you guys are going to want to see? This.
So this story might be, in a sense, be more out of bounds in the sense of,
oh,
like,
great.
Of what transpired and it being the most millionaire or billionaire thing you've ever heard in your life.
All right. What do we got?
Brewers billionaire owner, Mark Ananasio,
mm-hmm.
he's got a beachfront property on Malibu. He had a seawall on his property that kind of fell away. So what he did was he decided to hire an excavator crew to repair it by stealing, air quotes, sand from the beach.
Okay. So he went from his private beach and said, you know what I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the public beach. And I'm just going to steal all this sand and make my own.
Yeah.
That's what he did?
Yeah.
That feels like a lot of buckets.
This is the most billionaire. This is not a millionaire thing to do.
This is how rich people stay rich.
This is a billionaire thing.
So instead of like spending money on sand, like going to the rock or sand decorative rock place where you can get all that kind of stuff.
Or like permitting it saying.
They did permit it.
They permitted
it? Oh, yeah. No. They did that part of it. But to get the sand and the...
I'm assuming permitted it for his property, like the work on
his
property.
Yeah, but permit the excavation of sand from
the
public beach.
Yes.
Like, because nobody was like, where are you going to get this sand from? And he's like, Dubai? Like, what was his answer to...
That's the money. That's where they get the money for their sports now. But yeah, so what's funny about this whole thing is, number one, billionaire thinking that it's his anyways. So he's running excavator equipment up and down the beach, and the claim, it reads as bad as it could because that's what you want it to do. But it's like there are complaints of leaving petroleum products from the anytime you do anything up and down the beach, when you drive your 4x4 up and down the streets, you're leaving petroleum products behind. No, I'm not siding with the owner here. I'm just saying, can we stop with the the litigious nature of stupidity that we get into.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with this one, that billionaire Brewers owner, who I'm assuming isn't a full-time resident of his Malibu, California
probably
home.
Not.
He took this sand from in front of a home of what I'm assuming
other billionaires.
Is another billionaire,
yes,
or another millionaire, because I've checked out the real estate prices from time to time. Do you ever like to just go on Zillow?
Yes.
And just be just I don't know, it's like home voyeuring.
Well, first off, you don't really need to go and check the real estate prices in Malibu. All you need to do is look at Malibu.
Yeah.
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 It's expensive.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So the neighbor who he pissed off, this is worth $10 billion.
Yeah, this is another billionaire. Yes. So he's like, you know who's not going to care? My billionaire neighbor. And you know what that other billionaire neighbor did? He cared a lot.
He cared a lot.
He cared a lot.
You know why?
Because it's his sand.
No, because he didn't think of it first.
People don't forget.
That's wait, the thing here.
When this goes to court, my favorite part is like the sandbar that washed away.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't wash away. It was from the neighbor who took it,
From him.
And made his beach. I wouldn't put it past.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp. Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Either of them.
Yeah, and that's the part of this. It's very funny. What is it? Jerome Kohlberg or James Kohlberg, who's the son of Jerome Kohlberg, it's a big investment guru, right? Claims he's been using excavators on public natural resources and restricting public access to the beach while also exposing local marine life to potentially hazardous byproducts of heavy machinery.
Don't act like you care about the environment now, pal.
Yeah, the guy that has the 20
probably got a
private
jet.
He's like, I care about the environment so much, I fly my PJ for my dog to visit my ex-wife in Philadelphia.
I can only
every
imagine
week.
If I tried to go out to the end of the road in Manzanita with an excavator trying to steal sand from there. Like, people don't notice this, like, the first time you try to do it in a few minutes?
Yeah, I think it happens. I think it happens quite often.
Well, what happened was they did it once, and he was like, that's a good idea. Second time, he's like, that's a really good idea. I should have done that. Yeah. Third time, they're like, God dang it, he's going to take all the good sand before we can.
Can't have this happen.
No.
Can't have this. This is truly...
It's like full Scrooge McDuck.
This isn't even first world problems. This is like... 0.1 of the 1%.
Yeah.
You mentioned the guy's name, like I should know who it is. You know what's terrifying is how many billionaires we know nothing about.
Oh God, yeah.
Like that is the life right there.
Well,
like,
those are the smart ones that stay, like, out of the public eye. Yeah. Like, you know what? I'm just going to be rich and quietly enjoy it.
Everybody's
how
like, you know what? I want to be
are.
Bill Gates or Elon Musk, and I'm like, no, I want to be the guy that has like $15 billion, and nobody knows who the hell he is.
I want to be like McAfee, not Pat, the crazy one.
The guy that was humping whales?
Well, no, not that. But I mean, like...
Or, wait,
I mean, he didn't do
that.
No,
hiding out in Belize?
Yes. Hanging out in Belize.
Like, we thought he was dead for a while or something?
Wait, isn't he, like, super creepy?
Yeah, I don't want that. I'm talking about, like, being nowhere.
Like, he's just this side of Epstein,
Danny,
isn't he?
That is the most on-brand thing you could have said. Like, you know what? I want to be the guy that he's got some big-time skeletons and a lot of warrants out.
Yeah. No. I want to be hanging out in Belize.
I love you. It was
acting weird.
The McAfee guy. Yeah, he is.
Well, not the creepy. I want to be like eccentric.
Like the only other guy that would have made more sense for you is I want to be the Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have my evil lair.
Yeah, I want to have my own evil island with a volcano. How many billionaires do you think there are in the world right now?
In the world?
Yes. I have a number from April of 2024.
150.
Okay. No. I am going. I think I've read something like there is like 400 billionaires in America.
Oh.
I think worldwide, I think that we're going with, I will say 900 billionaires worldwide.
2,781.
Dang.
Over $1,200,000,000,000.
That's what I was going to say next.
During the pandemic, there was almost 3,200, and a big part of that was just people who conveniently placed bets in the stock market.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, huh.
The guy that tried to buy the WNBA team here.
How many are in Congress?
Most. Most, in fact.
I was way off.
But yeah,
wow.
You have
2,000 billionaires. Yeah. That's a lot of money, guys.
That's a lot of money. The Bernard,
it's a few trillion.
Bernard Arnault is actually,
it's at least a couple trillion,
the richest person in the world right now.
Bernard Arnault?
Yep. The empire of 75 fashion and cosmetic brands, including Louis Vuitton and Sephora. They are worth, it's the Arnault family.
Wait, he's worth more than
Elon. Yeah. Or Bezos, or Zuck, or Ellison. In fact, how much do you think he's worth? Because this will shock you.
Nine times.
I'm going to say $250
billion.
You're close. $200 billion.
So that's how much he's worth. Is that who Biden was talking about? What's his name? Bernard Arnault?
Arnault. Yeah, he's French.
Now, can't buy a gold medal in basketball, can you, Bernard?
Now, with the, was the dividend, or they split something on Tesla, Elon has passed that, but I think it's still kind of up for debate because of the liquidity of what he has, but he's worth roughly $240 billion. So it depends on how you slice that. But yeah, those two, and then...
Yeah, I want to be the guy that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about. Like, you're just like... Hey, that guy looks rich.
I wonder who the richest in the world are that you wouldn't know.
Give me the list of billionaires.
So
I want to be the guy who's on this list, but his name isn't on there. You don't even know.
Because
I'm an arms dealer. Wait, what?
No, your money's just too high. Like, you can't get that high and not be known. Because you've got Musk, Bezos, Arnault. Like, those are your three. Mm-hmm. Zuck. Bill Gates, still there.
Still good.
Larry Ellison at Oracle.
Know him.
Larry Page, who is the CEO of Google.
Okay.
$150 billion.
All right.
Ballmer, $150 billion. Sergey Brin, co-founder and board member of Google.
Yep.
And then Warren Buffett.
Yep. Know him.
Weird how there's a bunch of tech guys up there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me scroll down and see.
Who's worth $50 billion? Give me somebody in that $50 billion range.
Okay, so this is where it actually... Outside of the U.S., it gets interesting. You've got $51 billion. Colin Huang from PDD Holdings. Changpeng Zhao from Binance at $58
billion. Binance, that doesn't sound like a nefarious company at all.
Projago Pangestu from Burrito Pacific.
Burrito Pacific?
B-A-R.
Oh.
$64 billion.
I was about to get really excited.
Let's see. Alice Walton's Walmart.
Mm.
Rob Walton, Jim Walton, those are all the Walmarts. Bloomberg, NVIDIA. Yeah, it's like $40 billion, I think, is like $50 billion.
Yeah, I thought the NVIDIA guy was the richest man in the world.
He did get up there, but NVIDIA took a big hit, and then they also split their stock
like
a month ago.
All right.
But yeah, then you start getting like the international. How much do you think the Red Bull guy's worth?
Well, it gives him wings, so I'm going to say $52 billion.
40 billion.
See, that's
one.
Who I want to be at. I want to be the Red Bull guy.
Mark Mateschitz.
I would pay to change
my
name.
Am I supposed to hit the dumb button on that?
I would pay to change my name. No, it's a name. do you know that? Like, there's when they did Meet the Parents, and then they did the Meet the Fockers movie.
Mm-hmm.
They had to prove that there was a family
named Fokker
that actually had that name. Or it would have had to have been a rated R movie because it was PG-13.
Mm.
They had to, and so for any publication of it, like, you wouldn't be able to put the movie title on a marquee or advertise it if there wasn't. And I believe it was a family in Canada. I think they had to like find a Canadian family
name. There's one with a U.
Yeah.
Well, and
please tell me one of those Fockers was named Gay.
Yeah, I don't know. But that, I remember that when they came out with the movie, I saw an interview with Ben Stiller, and he had to like give the whole rundown of like, yeah, it was quite the process.
Yeah, there's one with a U, with and without an umlaut.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like Motley Crue.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like the pho place in Beaverton.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
It's got that one word front. And then,
yeah, we know.
And then King Good.
We know what you're going with. Yeah. Yep. That's what I want to be Red Bull guy. Red Bull guy is the sweet spot where it's like nobody really knows who you are, but you're like, I'm the Red Bull guy. And they're like, oh, no way.
It's insane.
Did you send that guy to jump from space?
He's like, show me your wings.
I did that. Like, do you finance all these movies? Yeah, I just say, like, go do cool stuff. Like, do the wingsuit through, like, the Swiss Alps. Yeah, I do that.
He's actually Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah. And then I go hang out by my pool.
Now, Dan Bilzerian, I think, is a guy that you actually,
that's who you want to be.
Yeah. Not the McAfee guy, yeah. But, like, a guy with a bunch of guns, some, like, very problematic stuff that they're just like, well, he's crazy, and they just
a lot of fun, but he's crazy.
It.
Yeah,
yeah, and you have some real demons.
A lot of international waters,
and every person that you come in contact with has to sign an NDA.
Yeah,
that's
you're gonna have a good time.
That is the guy you want to
be. A good time.
You don't want to be John McAfee.
Yeah, no,
that was a bad choice by you, but totally on brand.
Let's face it: if Danny ever gets rich enough, he's gonna have a yacht, and the name of that yacht is just gonna be called NDA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. The reason why McAfee jumped in my head is I have this picture of him in Belize just like chilling. And I don't know. I forgot about the
Yeah, that's called On the Run.
Yeah, but I forgot about all the other stuff.
Well, for those rich guys, for most everybody else, it's called vacation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Bezos is worth $200 billion.
Yeah.
He only has a 10% stake in Amazon now.
Yeah,
that's just how much is worth.
Yeah. Well, did he have to give a bunch of it to his ex-wife?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. McKinsey.
Yeah.
McKinsey. She got a pretty sweet jet.
Good work if you can find it.
But at least she does good stuff, so.
Now.
Well, I mean, the great thing, and we don't talk about this nearly enough, like we talked about it briefly, but the fact that Bezos went from like nerdy bookseller online to actually looking like Lex Luthor, for like shaved head, glasses.
I mean, they all did. All of them
wears
did.
Like the well, the billionaire outfit is like a vest with like a button-up shirt underneath it.
Yeah,
like they have an outfit
or the $6,000 T-shirt that's meant to look like it's $30.
Yeah, that's made of like the tears of children and unicorns.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
That's where all the unicorns went.
Mm-hmm. Those T-shirts.
Well, they probably used all of them up in Buffalo, too, because they have no unicorn tears for any of their injuries anymore.
Oh boy.
We'll get to that coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Buffalo Bills continue to be snake bitten.
This is brutal for them.
Matt Milano has a torn bicep, which a torn pec, torn bicep. I make a million jokes about all the injuries I've had. I have managed to avoid like detrimental upper body injuries.
I'm assuming this table is not actually marble, so I'm going to knock on this wood.
Yeah.
You know? Cardboard.
But Milano is just snake bitten.
Yeah, this is brutal for the Buffalo Bills in the fact that Matt Milano, an all-pro 2 years ago, last year goes five games into the season and breaks his leg. And look, we can say all we want, like, oh, linebacker, it doesn't affect the points, but it affected that defense tremendously, and it's going to affect their defense even more so this year with a torn biceps where he's now targeting December for a return. That's aggressive.
Yeah, that's playing with the TJ Watt
brace. One of the and it affects him even more so because of the fact of how good he is in coverage. He is one of the best coverage linebackers in the entire NFL, and when you take into account not just his coverage ability, the losses that this Buffalo defense had, they're replacing both Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde this year. You have new safeties in the back end of your defense, and now you're going to be going into the season without a safety blanket for those guys in that you had one of the guys who covered the best as any linebacker in the league. That's a big hit for them. And this is what sucks for Buffalo fans is they are so close but so far away still. They have the quarterback. They have the pieces.
The window might have passed the weapons. By.
It might have because, you know, Poyer, Hyde, Diggs, gone. Right?
Mm-hmm. And then they don't what is on that team that's young that is like, okay, there's your transitionary piece. Like there's not a young DB on either side that you're like, that dude is going to be a guy you can build your defense off of. There's not a pass rusher because they've been rolling out the corpse of Von Miller for God knows how long now. There's not a young pass rusher. There's not a young weapon.
Well, Ed Oliver isn't old.
How old is he?
I bet he's like 26, 27?
Okay, he's 26.
Yeah.
He'll be 27 years old.
You have, gosh, Greg Rousseau, who they the defensive end out of Miami. He's young
ish.
Yeah, he's 20. I mean, he's 24.
I mean, I like Keon Coleman, but I don't see him as the guy that's going to foundationally change the team.
Yeah. They've done a really good job, though, of just drafting plug-and-play type players, though.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton Kincaid, good player.
Yeah, but that's why you need, especially on the defense side of the ball, you need a Haas. And Milano was that guy. And, I mean, this has been for so long now, because remember the legend of Kiko Alonso in the flash that he had that was so quick? And
Two and a half years, then gone.
Boom. Out.
Yeah.
Like, out of the league.
Yeah.
Like, he was...
Injuries just piled up so fast, it was done.
Now you're seeing it with Milano, too. Yeah. And that... I just feel...
It sucks.
I feel for the Bills, because I want them to be so good, and they've gotten so damn close, but so far away at the same time. And that's, like, the history of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. And, I mean, you don't leave, what is it, 17 seconds on the clock?
And this is...
They probably win a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, they probably would have gotten one.
Yep.
And it's just... That window might have been it.
Yeah, and they may be the most cursed franchise in sports now. It's not the Red Sox or the Cubs anymore.
No. You're right. I think in all of sports...
In all of sports...
Because they just never won one.
It's the Buffalo Bills because of just how close they've gotten. You can also throw...
Browns.
Like, the Minnesota Vikings aren't that far off. They're 0-4 in Super Bowls all time.
You know what I smell? Bowl.
In the NBA... I mean, I don't know if there's anybody.
Kings.
You think, the Sacramento Kings, but they touched.
I'm sorry, in which NBA city do we reside?
I mean, we have a championship in Portland in 1977, at least. Yeah. But
okay, yeah, look, I was 8 months old.
Yeah,
but still.
And I am old as F.
Yeah, but it's not like there have been, like in both of the NBA finals in 90-92 or 89-92, it's not like our hearts were ripped out and we didn't have a Scott Norwood moment.
Do we go Clippers? Do we put Clippers in there? Let's go this way.
I mean, look.
Who's the most cursed franchise in the NBA right now?
But you can also say that even with the Clippers, they weren't like that close.
It's true.
You know, they've never been to the finals.
Yeah, no, they're not snake bitten. They've just always been bad.
Yeah, and then when...
Like outside of the run with Blake Griffin and CP3 and
that
stuff.
Epitome of snake bitten, because it would be Blake Griffin, and then you had the rock hard buns of Gerald Henderson breaking the hand of Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was like one thing after, and then Donald Sterling saga. I mean, they had that window, but they never just were able to get over the hump.
Okay, here's your list of teams. There are 10 teams in the NBA that have not won an NBA title. Nets and Hornets, you can throw them out. Pacers, Clippers, Grizzlies.
Ooh, Pacers might
Pacers
be a good
are
one.
Right there. Timberwolves are up there.
But we need to draw the line of cursed to just bad, right?
Utah Jazz.
Utah. Utah is it. The Utah Jazz are it.
Yeah.
Because they've gone to finals. Mm-hmm. They've had the best team in the NBA. And what did they run into? They ran into the damn Houston Rockets and Chicago Bulls.
Okay, we have spots for, let's see, two more teams. No, one more team. So we've got the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings, Utah Jazz.
In Major League Baseball, you look at teams like the San Diego Padres.
I think it's probably the Padres.
The Seattle Mariners.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
But the Mariners, they've never gone to the World Series, for God's sakes. You know, part of this is just, like, crippling losses. Would we go... Ooh.
Okay.
What about...
Five teams have not won a World Series title. That's it.
Well, I think...
Mariners, Brewers, Rockers, Rockies, Padres, and Rays. It's got to be the Padres.
Yeah.
The Mariners are the only franchise to never appear in a World Series. So that might be it.
But again, you're just bad at that point.
But I mean, 116 wins.
Yeah, you ain't wrong.
117.
Yeah. I think it was 119.
God. I think the Mariners might be the, because they
That was 116.
Yeah, it was 116. Okay, yes.
116?
Yeah.
Was it 119 total when they're with their postseason in there too?
Could be, but no, because that was an AL record was the 116.
Holy smokes.
I think it's the Mariners.
I think it might be two. I think it might be two. But again, like, God. And they've wasted so much talent, like generationally good players, whether you're talking about Ken Griffey Jr. or Ichiro or Felix Hernandez.
Alex Rodriguez.
But
the other,
at least he got out while the getting's good. I mean, you're talking, you wasted careers.
Yes. If the alternative here is we drop either the Jazz or the Mariners and we add the Toronto Maple Leafs. 70 years now?
Hockey doesn't count.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're...
they're the original NHL and team.
And it's their sport.
Yeah.
Like, that...
Canada hasn't won a title in 31 years?
Their sport. It may, yeah, I think we do. We gotta... let's take the Vikings out.
I mean, I guess even the Raptors won a championship in their sport.
Yeah. I think the Mariners are gonna run away with this just because of the fact that the local bias is gonna kick in, but, I mean, this conversation is...
well, with the Padres, too, you had, what, 20-some years of Tony Gwynn that just got wasted?
I mean, that's it. The first team that's
the best hitter of all time.
The team that pops into my mind, it is the San Diego Padres. Yeah. When I think of cursed franchises in baseball, it's just ineptitude. It's not a curse.
It's not a curse. They were just poorly run forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You had the crime dog down there, too, for a bit with Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough.
That's tough.
Brutal deep. All right.
Coming up next.
We got more polls.
Our college football rivalry trophy bracket challenge continues next year in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.